This session, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and afterwards, because I think a lot of you are going to want to be prayed for, so we're going to move some chairs, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to have Mark DuPont come and pray for you. Jesus made it very clear, as we'll see in a minute, that if we want to do what he's called us to do as a church and as individuals, fulfill God's purpose in our life, we need to be empowered. Because in and of ourselves, we ain't going to do it. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, very passionate about it. I mean, if there's one thing I want to talk about tonight, this is it. And it's because many of you have known about the story of our church. But to make a long story short here, we are really struggling, working hard, and nothing was happening. And I ran across a verse, Corinthians, that said the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. You can say the kingdom of God doesn't consist in methods, but in the power of God. The Christian church for many years, in desperation to keep the numbers up, right, has tried to sell Christianity through different kind of marketing techniques, which aren't bad. But in the course of doing that, watering down the gospel. So the churches don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to have altar calls. They don't want to tell people that they're going to hell. None of that stuff. It was called the seeker sensitive movement. And Mark and I mean, that used to drive us, that movement, which has kind of died down, praise the Lord. Jesus said, lift up the cross of Jesus. Lift up the cross. In other words, tell people about sin. Sin separates, I mean, we're all sinners, and that sin separates us from God, our Creator. But Jesus is the answer. And Jesus said, if you do that, I'll draw men to myself. Now, as he's drawing men and women to himself, we have responsibilities. We have work to do. We have responsibilities. He's given us the Great Commission to go out, make disciples, pray for people. Now, as Mark told you, as we minister to people, if God's power isn't working through the situation, not a whole lot's going to happen. The kingdom of God does not consist in words, methods, and so forth, but the power of God. I got so interested in this word power that I went through the whole Bible and looked up every passage about power. I knew nothing was going to happen because of my anointing, because I was a great preacher or anything like, excuse me, of any natural giftings or talents I had. I'd go to conferences and I'd see these guys speak and I'm like, there's no way. Anyway, Jesus knew to fulfill. Let me backtrack. Jesus gave his disciples a commission to go out throughout all the world, and we have that same commission. But Jesus knew for his disciples, these bunch of fishermen, to do what he'd called them to do, they need to be empowered. Something supernatural had to come upon them, all right? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples to go and wait into Jerusalem. Don't go out and start doing what I've called you to do. First go into Jerusalem and wait. And I hate to wait. I don't know about you. I don't like it. But go and wait. All right? Acts chapter 1. Now, I got all these scriptures that should come up on the screen and should also be in your notes. Oh, I have fill-in-the-blank notes. Now, why do I do that? Not because I think you're, juvenile, but I know that as I've done this enough, that if I give you fill-in, you're going to pay closer attention because you want to get right there. Now, if you look on the last page, all the answers are there. I got all the answers for you, all right? Unfortunately, that the page numbers got off somehow, but they are in the right order, okay? Just so if you miss something, don't worry. You can get it later. It's in the back. All right. So Acts 1, 4 through 5. Gathering them together. So obviously Jesus, right before he ascended to heaven, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What makes us think, if Jesus' disciples need this anointing, that we don't? In the Old Testament, there was a prophet by the name of Joel, and he prophesied that a time would come when God's Spirit will be poured out on all mankind. Joel chapter 2. We don't have time to look at that. You can look at it yourself later or come to a class, a four-week class I teach on the Holy Spirit. Anyway, on the day of Pentecost, okay, Jesus' disciples going to Jerusalem. They pray. There's about 120 of them. They pray the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes with power, shakes the place. This roaring wind comes, and there's tongues of fire on their head. People are, all the noise and ruckus. They go outside to see what's happening, and Peter comes out and preaches a message. And part of that message is Peter explains that what they are seeing is an outpouring of God's Spirit that the prophet Joel prophesied about so many years earlier. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 gives us a blow-by-blow account of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell on these 120 believers. Acts 2, 17 and 18. It shall be in the last days, God says. Now, Peter is explaining to the people, this is what's happening. It's a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. God says, this is Joel, that I will pull forth of my Spirit in all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on bond slaves, both men and women. I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The prophet Joel was prophesying that at some point there would be a new era in God's relationship with humankind. And that was that every human would have the possibility of experiencing God's power in their life. Not just prophets and kings, but every person that claimed to be God's, a people of God, could experience God's power. And friends, since Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, we've been living in that time. A time when all followers of God, followers of Jesus, could be filled, empowered by God to do his work on the earth. Now the term baptism of the Holy Spirit, so many Christians I've run into, that phrase just freaks them out. But I hate to tell them, it's in the Bible. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not fit to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that really freaks out some people, because the word fire really means lightning. It's lightning. And lightning is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Well, here on earth, maybe not the universe. In our nature here in the world. John the Baptist was prophesying, just as Joel was, that there was going to come a time when God's people would experience an empowering like lightning. Now, an important question here then. I'm skipping, but let's ask the question. This empowerment, this infilling that John the Baptist, Jesus, and Joel were talking about, is that separate from the Holy Spirit who makes his abode with you, or the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit that comes into our life when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? John 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. He will come to him and make his abode with him. 2 Corinthians 1:22. He has also sealed us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a pledge, a guarantee. Paul says, you know that you're a child of God because the spirit that is within you. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the spirit as a pledge. 1 Corinthians 6:17. I love this verse. But the one who joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. This last verse, keep that up here, proclaims that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the very essence of Christ somehow joins himself to you, your spirit. We become, in a sense, I mean, there's a connection there, a supernatural connection with God, because God is placed. I can't explain it. I just know the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and I. Somehow, God does that. And that's how we're born again. We're born again because God's Spirit comes inside of us and begins to regenerate us, transform us. We're not the same anymore. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Now you have an opportunity to walk in this. That's why you have an opportunity to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So each day, a Christian has a decision to make. Am I going to die to the old way? Am I going to die to the old self? Am I going to die to the old way of responding to someone? Am I going to die to the old way of living my life, making decisions, or saying yes to God and how God would want me to walk in the Spirit? Every day in all of us, there's a battle going on, right? You're either going to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. And that's not what this message is about, but I'm getting somewhere. I know I'm pressing this point, but it's very important to understand that the moment you accept Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I'm spending a little time on this because there's a lot of Christians who believe that when you are saved, you get all the Holy Spirit you need. The Holy Spirit comes, lives inside of you, that's it. Have I read Ephesians 1, 13 and 14? Can't remember. Okay. Because I'm trying to go quickly. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, God put his Holy Spirit. That's the point I'm trying to make. The Holy Spirit will continue to change us, lead us, bless us. If we continue to walk with the Spirit, we're going to experience the abundant life, ultimately eternal life. But guys, the Bible indicates there's something else. That the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that comes to us when we first get saved and helps us understand right from wrong, and there's that battle going on, that is different from the battle between the flesh and the spirit. That's different from the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different. They're two separate events. And as I and Mark have stated numerous times, this baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. There's many Christians who believe you only need to be baptized in the Spirit one time. That's it. We believe that it's a repeatable in the believer's life, and I like how my brother Mark phrases it. He says we need to be prayed for once in a while because we leak. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, the refreshing of the Holy Spirit, in just a minute. Okay. I'm going to kind of read you a long passage in John chapter 20. Remember, I'm talking about the fact that indwelling presence and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are two separate things. John chapter 20. So this is after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now let me ask you a question. Jesus standing there, he just rose from the dead. This is the Jesus, the third part of the Trinity that was there at creation. And when they spoke a word, the universe was created. Okay? Light was created, separation, and all that stuff. The whole universe, by just a word. So if this same God stood there and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," guess what? Those guys received the Holy Spirit. The indwelling presence of God. They were believers. Now they had the Spirit of God. This is when the Holy Spirit indwelt the believers. Jesus said, "Receive it." They receive it. Now, sometime right before his ascension into heaven, Jesus tells his disciples, Luke 24, 49, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power on high. And then I'm going to read Acts 1, 5 to you again, 4, 5, and 8 again, gathering them together. Come on, guys. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even in the remotest parts of the earth. So he's talking to his disciples who already have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He's told them to receive it. They got it. And Jesus clearly tells them, I'm going to give you a commission here, but I've given you a commission. Well, he gave it to him after he said that. He said, "I'm going to give you a commission. But you can't do what I'm calling you to do without an empowerment. I'm going to empower you to do this." Acts chapter 2, we have a written account of what happened. These 120 believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this baptism transformed these 120 believers from timid, frightened fugitives to fearless, single-minded soldiers for Jesus Christ. It completely changed them. They were huddling behind locked doors. Now they're outside preaching to anybody in different languages, just preaching. On that day of Pentecost, Peter preached a message to the crowd that had gathered. And they gathered because they heard the sound of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if the tongues of fire were still on them, but that would have been something, huh? Your head's on fire. But that would have drawn attention anyway. At the end, so Peter explains to them that, you know, this is what's happened to them is just the fulfillment of the prophet, Joel's prophecy. And he then preaches to them. And the people respond. They say, "What should we do?" I mean, he tells them, you guys crucified the Savior. Well, what do we do? Acts 2, 38. Peter says this, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, your children, and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God has called to himself." I want you to notice the sequence. We're going to see it over and over here. Jesus says, Peter said, "Repent, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior," which at that moment, the indwelling presence comes, baptism in water, then the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an important note. Jesus' disciples would never have baptized anyone if they didn't first confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Okay, this is an important distinction. They're not going to baptize anybody in water if they first haven't confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. In Acts chapter 8, Apostle Philip goes to Samaria, and he's involved in a revival there. Don't have time to read about it. Powerful things are happening. In the midst of it, God calls him to the Gaza Road. He meets the Ethiopian guy there. He preaches to him, right? Tells him about Jesus, and then this happens, verses 36 to 37. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then Philip baptized him. So they would never have baptized anyone before they confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm just trying to make a distinction that if they're baptizing someone, they're Christian, so they already have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's my point. Now, this baptism of the Holy Spirit was so important to the disciples that when the disciples found out that Samaria, large groups of people in Samaria, had heard the word of God, had accepted the gospel, they sent Peter and John to them to lay hands on them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's not like Samaria, you know, you just couldn't jump in a car and drive 65, 70 miles an hour. You had to walk. It was about a 2 or 3 day walk. And it was dangerous. But they wanted to make sure that these believers received the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, again, we don't have time to go through, but it's all listed there in your notes. We got another example of Paul. He goes and he finds a bunch of believers who've only been baptized in the name of Jesus. So he takes them, lays hands on them, and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul. Then in Acts chapter 10 and 11, you have an interesting story about Peter. He's in Joppa. He's on the roof, and if you know the story, he has a vision. And basically, God tells him to go and preach the word to Gentiles. He finds himself ultimately in a Roman centurion's house by the name of Cornelius. He preaches the word to them. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. He baptizes them. He comes back down to Jerusalem. Now, the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, had heard that he had went into a Roman centurion's house. Oh, no. And he told them about Jesus. What are you doing that for? Then he told them a story, how God had led him there. And in his explanation, in Acts chapter 11, Peter says this: "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning." He's talking to the Jewish guys there, Jewish men and women who were going, you know. "And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he had given to us," what's the next word? "After believing." I don't see how you can get any clearer than that. "If God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us after believing the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in the way, stand in God's way?" So Peter clearly states the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given after you believe. And I want to go back to the day of Pentecost just for a second here. Peter, trying to figure out here. I want to make sure we have lots of time, maybe even have time to worship. Okay, Acts 2, we're going to read that again. Acts 2, 38 to 39, because I want to make another point. So here's Peter again. We're backtracking. He's got all these people who are there, have heard the sound. He has preached that. He has said, he's preached about Jesus. Their response was, what should we do? What should we do? Peter said to them, repent, each of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't baptize in the name of Jesus Christ if they didn't accept him as Savior. And when they accept him as Savior, they've got the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which you got the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God has called to himself. So let me ask you a question. What is the promise Peter is talking about for future believers? This promise gift, future believers. This promise gift that we could receive after believing in Jesus. It's the promise of Joel. It's the empowerment of God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is promised to every believer. It's a gift of anointing and power. It's an anointing to go beyond yourself, the ability to live and function in a supernatural realm, be transformed to experience spiritual gifts in a powerful way. Now, also, based on Scripture, I do not believe, I want to go into this just a little bit for a minute here. I do not believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time gift, is a one-time event. I do not believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit come upon you after you're a Christian is a one-time event. In Acts chapter 4, we don't have time to read it. Peter and John come back from being threatened by the Sanhedrin. They have a prayer meeting. At the end of the prayer meeting, they have a second Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. The place is shaken. They're filled again. They're baptized again. Acts chapter 3:19, Peter said that there would be times of refreshing, plural, from the Lord. Times of refreshing. Times when God's Spirit will be poured out upon you. Peter tells us that we'll have times of refreshing for those who believe. And who's going to give those times of refreshing? Of course, the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need these times of refreshing? Well, Mark says we leak. But this is how I would say. This world wears us down. The enemy, situations, temptations, people, it's relentless. All Christians need time or just stand there and say, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need your strengthening. This is too much for me. Let the wells of water break forth. Let them come upon me. However it is, fill me up with your Spirit. I need you, Lord. This is why we take the time that we do at the end of the service. Now, I'm hoping that there's some of you in here that have never asked to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because I get excited about what may happen to you. And you might be thinking, well, okay, I can see by Scripture that I need God's power in my life and empowering it in my life. I want all God has for me, but I'm a little uneasy about this stuff. A little uneasy about somebody praying for me and you know, I like to be in control. Guys. Control. I really think that a lot of this hesitation to be open to the Holy Spirit is really because people like to be in control. Pastors, leaders, they got the whole thing scripted, want to know everything. Wonder if God wants to do something. So if you're a bit uneasy, I mean, I can understand that. If you're coming, maybe you're just visiting, you know, you're coming to our church from another church that didn't talk about things like this. And when they were talked about, it was, you know, you better stay away from that. That's kind of crazy stuff. And you're sitting here wondering if you stumbled into a cult. I hope that I've proved to you by Scripture that you haven't. This is God's Word. I'm not twisting anything. But I want you to consider something. And I say this all the time. Jesus loves you, right? You've been singing it since you were a little kid. Jesus loves me. You know, this I know. Okay. If you stand before Jesus with your hands up and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Strengthen me. Anoint me. Baptize me in your Spirit. I want to be empowered to do your will. What you had to be afraid of. If you ask God to fill you, he will fill you. Period. It's going to happen. You and I have to have more faith in a God that promises to bless us than somehow Satan can trick us. I quickly want to talk about, and I will do it quickly, what happens when we pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you this to alleviate your fears. First of all, and please don't miss this, because some of you are coming from other churches. In the last couple years, we were just talking about it in the office today. Hundreds of you have come from different places. Don't miss this. No one manifestation, emotional, physical, is given in the Bible to authenticate being baptized in the Spirit. Guys, you don't look for manifestations. You look to Jesus. You thank Jesus. If you're standing there and you say, fill me, you thank Jesus because that's exactly what's going to happen. This is all in your notes, so we're going to go through it quickly. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit falls on people 3 times. There are the Scriptures. It comes on people 2 times. There are the Scriptures. It's received 2 times. And people were filled with the Holy Spirit 6 times. Here are the results. 3 times preaching, 2 times witnessing, 3 times speaking in tongues, 2 times prophecy, and sometimes nothing. In this book that I'm putting together now, I show sometimes it talks about people being filled and we don't, maybe something happened, maybe it didn't, but maybe nothing. Therefore, if you look at this, therefore it is wrong to take any one experience of the Holy Spirit and use it as a measure of whether or not someone is baptized in the Spirit. Now many in the church, our Christian brothers and sisters, believe that you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues. And I've seen it on the back of bulletins and in statements of faith. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with its initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the New Testament are we told that we have to have one specific experience and that'll tell us we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, you got to keep praying to speak in tongues, and until you do, you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is unscriptural. That is nowhere in the Bible. If it was that important, it would say it. It doesn't. Now, I've had many experiences with the Holy Spirit. The most common, as I tell you, is I felt nothing. I try. Nothing! The point is, if you ask, God will fill you. If you remember anything I say, remember that. If you ask God to fill you, and you have a, you know, there isn't a you're not practicing some sin or some, I mean, we all sin, but you know what I mean. You're just standing there, God, I need you. We're going to have a time of repentance in a minute. I repeat, just fill me, God. He's going to do it. Luke 11. I've quoted this passage on Sunday morning so many times. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked, or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, here it is, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Is not Jesus saying, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give it to you? Now, probably half of you have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I'm just going to do it fast. The first time, I'm going to a certain denomination. I don't want to cast aspersion on any, but you know, it was a denomination church. I mean, the church did a lot for me. That's where I loved the pastor there, and learned a lot. And they had an evening where they were going to, like we're going to do a few minutes, they were going to have people come forward, and they were going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit on anybody who wanted. And they gave a teaching on how, when it happened, you were going to speak in tongues. Well, I was all, I'd only been a Christian for about a year and a half. I wanted everything I could possibly get from God. So I went forward, raised my hands. People were laying hands on me, filled with the, you know, telling me to fill with the Spirit and everything. And I, nothing. I heard somebody speak in tongues. I saw somebody, you know, I heard somebody, you know, they were falling over. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then the guy started to go, hey, la, la, la. Just repeat after me. La, 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 fa, 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 la, 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 la. I'm going. So I did it, but nothing happened. I'm not going to say that. I felt nothing. So, okay, the service is over. I mean, they tried to get me to speak in tongues. They used all the things. La, 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 pa, 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 pa. Get me? I mean, it didn't work. So I go home. Now, you understand, I'm a new Christian, and I want God. So I'm asking myself, what's wrong with me? Is there a sin? I was depressed because the preacher had convinced me I needed this thing. I looked in the Bible. I need this thing. But now that I look back on my life, many years ago, I looked back, something changed that night powerfully in my life. It wasn't a couple of months later. It's like God shot me out of a cannon. All of a sudden, a couple of months later, I'm standing in front of people preaching. I'm not very good, mind you. And the only reason why I was there is because I was a preacher's kid. I understand that. But the fact remains, doors were just opening for me, right? Now, I did speak in tongues sometimes later. Paul says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And I really wanted to be able to speak in tongues because I wanted to pray. And I wanted to pray for people. And I knew that it would help me pray, and that's exactly what that gift has done in my life. And I speak in tongues almost every day of my life. Now guys, I'm talking about nothing happening, but other times in my life, where I've been overwhelmed with the presence of God, I've fallen down, I've just wept. I remember when a guy named Lonnie Frisbee prayed me years ago. This is a church was small. We're in an auditorium with a wood floor. He prayed for me. If you know anything about that guy, he was different. But anyway, I fell to the ground. I just wept and wept and wept and wept. There was a puddle of water, you know? I remember going back to Toronto years ago, and every night the Holy Spirit would just lay me out. I've seen visions. The Lord took me somewhere once. Boy, that was something. And I don't have time to go in there, but he wanted to show me that I didn't have to worry about the enemy, but I can't get into that. All those things have been incredible. The point I'm trying to make right now is you cannot, don't look for manifestations, just look to Jesus. Whether you feel anything or not, that's not the important thing. The important thing is to be humble and ask God to fill you with His Spirit, and He will. And it's okay to ask Him, Lord, I like speaking tongues. Paul says, desire these things. It's fine. Anyway. So what can I say? Simply ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. If you ask, you will receive. We see in Acts that Jesus' disciples needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. New converts needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So do you and I. Let me have Shane up here. What we're going to do now is we're going to ask you to come forward in just a minute, and we're going to pray for those who want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight. Can I just, because this will help me figure out how we're going to do this. How many would like to be prayed for tonight? Let me see the hands. Okay. It's about a third of you. Let's all stand. What we're going to do first, okay? Because I want enough room up here so that the ministry team will be easiest for us to get around and lay hands on people. If you're sitting in the first two rows, right? Actually, the first three rows, I need you to get up and move. Move back. I'm sorry, just take your purse and everything. There's plenty of places to sit back there. And then I need a couple guys to take the first two rows and push them right back into the third row. Okay? There's about 400 of us. There's about 400 of us in here. There are 800 seats in the bottom here. Okay? There's plenty of room. And if someone is coming down the aisle looking, move over and let them sit there. I know they're hard to move. Okay, that just makes a little bit more room. All right. We thought it'd be a good idea before we prayed that we say a prayer. And we're going to read the prayer together. I wrote it at my desk today. It'll be on the screen. And we're all going to pray together, whether you feel like you want to come forward and get prayer or not. Just go ahead and it's just good humbling ourselves to recognize. All right, ready? Dear Lord Jesus, before asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, we would ask that you would forgive us. First, for the many times our faith has faltered, we did not love our neighbor, we put other people, possessions, prestige, monetary gain before serving you and obeying you. We confess tonight that we have transgressed your will, and we ask you to forgive us. We confess that we need your influence, strength, and guidance in our life. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit. Baptize us afresh this evening so we can fulfill your plan for our life.